Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Training Camp 2020, Locked and Loaded, is presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Mike Evans with us Friday off, so a three-day weekend for Mike, and I'm Jerry Schimmel sitting in for him along with Stink, and it is as well Friday, so it is a Is It Just Me Friday. Hit our text line, RamosLaw.com. Text line is 303-713-1043. Just start your text with Is It Just Me or Is Nolan Arenado the best third baseman of all time? Whatever you want to write in. All
right. Oh, snap.
To the Broncos, and we did not hit on Drew Lock with Cecil Lammy, but I want to ask you this. There obviously is a great deal of pressure on Drew Lock. In your mind, knowing this young man and how he can handle things mentally, and maybe the way he did that last year in those five starts, do you think he's feeling a lot of pressure as a sort of up-and-coming franchise quarterback that has a chance to lead this team back to promised land? Or is he like, you know, I'm just going to get down and dirty and I'm going to just work every day and not worry about the pressure or what people think? What's your thought on that?
My thought is I don't think that he's, and I don't know him well. I haven't spoken to him. I don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
But just watching him, my gut just tells me that he's having a great time. You know, he's focused on doing things the right way, but he's having a great time doing it. There's a great balance of understanding the pressure, the job at hand and all those things, and still having fun doing it, having fun performing. Mm. And I think one of the things that impressed me most, I mean, I can show you plenty of plays if we go back to last year that should have been picks, that could have been picks, that he was late on, you know, on balls that were like first read, get the ball out of your hand type of thing. I can show you plenty of plays. And it's probably why Elway and it was probably why Vic Fangio weren't fast to applaud him and anoint him.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
It
definitely took them some time to kind of warm up even throughout the season. So I can show you plenty of those plays, and hey, young guys are going to have that, you know, and if it turns around, you know, and they go the opposite way, if you're late with the ball and some of those plays that, you know, the Noah Fant throwing the Noah Fant to the Houston throw on the first play of the game should have been a pick six, and instead it's a 50-yard gain, right? That type of thing. If some of those, and some of that's because you've got great arm strength, so you can be a little bit late, a little bit tardy, and still get the ball into a tight window and eliminate some of those plays on the football. But that being said, scrap all that because I expect that. Like you just expect. I've watched enough and been around the game enough to know that that's going to be part of the growing process. Okay, so that doesn't matter. What I loved was his ability to improvise and his ability to make plays when things broke down.
Mm-hmm.
His third down, his presence on third down, where the game gets big, where the pressure gets big, and where it didn't seem to affect him, where he could buy a little bit of time, and instead of just taking off and, you know, and scrambling, trying to make a first and diving over people and getting hit, he just dumped that off to a tight end, back over the middle, you know, and they fell over the first down yard marker. Like, stuff like that that you saw consistently is what intrigues me more than anything about him. Mm-hmm. Listen, there's a lot of people that would sit here in this town and go, well, you're just negative and you don't like Elway or you don't like the Broncos or you don't like. No, I'm just giving you the facts of how this game operates. And it is my responsibility to you to tell you the truth. And listen, do I hope they're great? Yes. Am I skeptical? Absolutely, because I know how hard it is. I know how hard it is in your own division. And I know how hard it is when you're trying to groom young players, because young players make young player mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. And you know how they grow from young player mistakes? By making young player mistakes,
right,
and becoming veterans.
Right.
Okay. And that's why coaches like veterans, because they don't make, hey, you may make a physical mistake every now and again because you're older and you're not as quick as you once were, but you're not making the dumb mental mistakes. And the dumb mental mistakes are what costs us games. And young players tend to make a lot more of those than old players. And so, you know, I look at stuff like that going, man, they seem to be building a nice core, right? But there's still a lot of question marks about that core. And again, I look at it like, hey, when I played here, it was my job to sacrifice and go out and play hurt and do all those things. I'm playing here on this radio station, and it's my job to give you not state-sponsored radio, to give you, like, it's not pom-poms and orange-colored glasses and woohoo, we're going to, you know, win a championship and we're going straight to the playoffs. It's deeper than that. You know, it means more to me than that. You got to be honest about it.
Yeah. I just think, I guess my point is, one of the things I think is sort of underrated in the National Football League with a quarterback, especially a young one, is his mental toughness.
Sure.
Because he's going to struggle, right? He's going to have bad games.
Yeah.
Drew Lock is, right?
Sure.
And it's how you bounce back from that. And it's, all right, am I going to go out and just work and try to improve my game and try to help us win next week? Or am I feeling like, man, the whole weight of this town wanting to get back to a great football team is on my shoulders and,
right.
and all that kind of. And I say that, too, because I had a conversation with Nolan Arenado many years ago and probably his third year or so, and he burst on the scene, as we know. And I said, how are you different now than you were as a rookie? He said, as a rookie, I felt like the weight of the city was on my shoulders to turn this franchise around because I've been losing for so long. And he said, once I got past that was not my responsibility. Mm. My responsibility was to be the best player I possibly could be and go out every night and try to help this team win. He said that was kind of the turning point for me, was when I didn't worry about, I said I thought about it, but I didn't worry about and lose sleep over fans' expectations of me and the team. I just went out and I worked and prepared and I played. Is that was a difference from that? That's a turning point for me. That's when I really became comfortable in my own skin as a baseball player. Doesn't Drew Lock have to get there at some point to be this great quarterback that he can be?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at, you know, what the city's expectation, this is one of the things I like about Drew Lock. He just doesn't seem to.
Yeah.
It just, like,
I'm with you.
He doesn't have, I don't feel like he goes, wow, I'm replacing Elway and Peyton Manning. He's just like, man, I'm just being Drew Lock. You know, I had this conversation with Kyler Murray, Arizona last year, game one. And he wasn't disrespectful. It's hard to say this, to tell this story without sounding like he's being disrespectful. But at some point, we're talking like ex-player football guy to young player, rookie football guy. And so I was like, you know what I think? And he's like, frankly, I don't really care. I mean, you can give me your opinion, but it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what I think and what the coaches think. I'm like, all right, I'd like good for you, right? Yeah. And like I said, it wasn't a disrespectful statement. It was like, I don't have time to worry about what you think or what
I love that
the city thinks, right? Or what anybody else thinks. I have an immense amount of pressure on my shoulders to do what's right for my team and to make the right decisions as a quarterback. And that's what I'm focused on.
Yeah.
You know, and I just feel like watching Drew Lock, like he doesn't think about, oh, it's not about replacing Elway. It's not about replacing Peyton Manning. It's not about, having three straight losing seasons. It's about coming in and competing and being the best he can be.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. That's what I love. And I think that's necessary.
That has to happen
with this team. All right, we've been talking about some weaknesses with the Broncos. When we come back, let's hit on maybe some of their strengths. Back in a moment.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Come.
Hey, it's Mike Evans.
Mike Evans taking a three-day weekend. Jerry Schimmel in on this Friday morning for him, along with Mark Schlereth with Stink. It is Is It Just Me Friday as well? You can hit our text line with that. Just start your text with, is it just me? Or put your text in words at that point. That is 303-713-1043, 1043. That's the RamosLaw.com text line. Let's hit on a couple of them. Is it just me? Or is it starting to feel like a bit like June down on Blake Street? With the bullpen, I'm sure this.
They've leaked a little oil. Amonte, touched up the other day a little bit.
John Gray, Kinley's
been great, but Kinley coming out, I think he came out of Miami last year, if I remember correctly, but he had some walk issues, some base runner issues. Diaz, although Diaz has been pretty good, he's put a lot of traffic on him, man. You know how it is as a reliever, man. You start putting traffic on, the intensity ratches up quite a bit. Yeah,
absolutely. Is it just me, or did Jerry completely skip the morning brew? No,
we did the morning brew.
6:30, we did
just,
that.
It is just you.
Is it just me, or did that guy sleep through the morning brew?
Right.
All right. Okay.
Maybe dozed off.
All right. Hey, Broncos, we have talked about and done it this morning as well, Stink, with that offensive line. We know that's the big question mark. How about the strength of this team? Can you put the tackle by Bowles?
No.
The receivers talent-wise, receivers, right. Strong point?
Talent-wise, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any question. Talent-wise, you've got a lot of talented young players. It's why they went that direction. Why they went Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler, and why they drafted another Alberto at the tight end position, and you know they drafted Noah Fant at 20th overall a year ago. So, like, I think there's a ton of talent. I think again, experience becomes the question mark of the receiving group, and you know, and that's, I mean, that's legitimate. My biggest thing from a strength standpoint, there are so many question marks on offense, Jerry, that I could go through question mark after question mark. Do I think they're talented? Absolutely. Is there a big question mark? New offensive coordinator, new offensive system, relying on rookies and first-year players.
Pretty new quarterback.
Right, new
pretty
quarterback.
New, pretty new quarterback.
Are there a question mark? Absolutely. Are they talented? Absolutely. So I can discern the difference between talent and production. I know what talent looks like, but I also know what production looks like. Mm-hmm. And you got to figure out what that mix is going to look like. I also understand the importance of big plays happen, explosive plays. So when you define an explosive play in the National Football League, it's a run over 10 yards. Some coaches make it a run over 12 yards, okay? But that's an explosive in the running game. In the passing game, it's a pass over 20 yards.
Right.
Okay? Every explosive you give up in the NFL equates to 2.6 points per explosive play.
Really?
On average.
Oh.
Right. You don't get explosive plays in the NFL because you're a better athlete than the rest of the group. Like, you don't just say, hey, we're so athletic, we're just going to run by you at every position. It's not how explosive plays happen. You design explosive plays. Let's go back to the Super Bowl. 3rd down and 15. Let's run WASP. Okay? All right. What are the things that have to happen? One, you've got to have explosive players that threaten guys, right? That threaten. You've got to challenge defenders and make them choose. Okay? So you've got that. You've got Travis Kelce running down the middle of the field. You've got Tyreek Hill running across the field, the middle of the field, before he turns it to a corner route, right? You've got another receiver in Sammy Watkins that's running a deep dig at 18 yards. So what's happening is you're putting defenders in conflict, right? To be able to do that, man, you got to hold up. You got to hold up front on the offensive line, and you got to buy them an extra 2.5 seconds, and you got to have a quarterback that's got a hose. Mm-hmm. Like, all these things have to happen for that play to exist. It's not just, hey, it's 3rd down and 15, outrun everybody, and let's get a big play.
Yeah, because we're faster.
Right.
We can outrun everybody.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Gotcha.
And so what ended up happening is, even on that play, if you look at it, Patrick Mahomes actually went from an 11-yard drop to about a 14-yard drop. Why? He had to buy himself another second. Mm. And to be able to do that, guess what you have to have? An absolute cannon for an arm. Like, some guys can do that. Some guys can't do that. And then you've got enough speed out there that you made somebody bite. You know, your cornerback out there in a cover three bit, he should have intercepted. That ball should have been an interception. But it wasn't because...
Someone's going to get bit.
Right. Because everything worked out. So, to me, why I'm telling you this is because speed's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have a system that threatens people, that challenges people, that puts people into conflict on the defensive side of the ball where they have to make a choice. And then you hope they choose wrong. You hope they choose to cover the underneath guy, and the deep guy is wide open, and your quarterback has the wherewithal and the time to get it there. And it takes all, like, everything has to work in unison. Your backs have to pick up in protection. Your offensive line has to do its job. Your underneath guy has to sell the damn route so linebackers jump or safeties jump. And your over-the-top guy has got to hit it on the fly. And your quarterback's got to put it on the money.
So what you're telling me is when all these things come together,
they
build up into this one play, you can be that head coach and take your headset off and say, touchdown.
Right.
Just before the play happens.
Yeah.
Like Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, we got it. We have got it. And I mean, it just takes a lot of, it takes a lot of things have to happen.
Yeah, I got you.
You know, it's the whole reason why, you know, we've put as a football society, you know, we've gotten so enamored with fantasy football that we have put way too much weight on, you know, number one receivers.
Yeah. Yeah,
and,
I got you.
And paid them, to me, we paid them way too much money.
Yeah. You're not the only one that says that. Yeah.
Right. It's 10 other guys. If 10 other guys don't do their job exceptionally well, you don't sniff the football.
Mm-hmm.
And yet somehow we made them the most important guys on the field. And I'll never understand that aspect. That aspect of football is nonsensical to me.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, you know, the deeper wide receiver has dominated kind of the landscape of football. And, you know, the next big time wide receiver that somebody signs to get them over the top to win the Super Bowl will be the first time that somebody signed a big time diva wide receiver to get them over the top to win a Super Bowl.
You could say a diva wide receiver.
I mean, it'll be the first time it ever happened.
I know, like the description.
Right.
The diva.
Yeah. Well, you know the guys I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. You know what's interesting is how much we talk about on this station with the Broncos, the offense and the question marks, the offensive line, the young receivers, the young quarterback. We talk about the defense all that much.
Right.
Because we really don't have to. As a unit, that should be a good defense, right?
Yeah, theoretically, it should be a really good defense.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the weakness for that team has been, I mean, obviously there's some question marks at the cornerback position.
Sure.
That's a question mark. Inside linebackers, to me, that's a question mark. But what happened last year, the lack of consistent pressures and all those things, when you add a Jarrell Casey, when you get a healthy and motivated Von Miller, when you get back off of ACL at Bradley Chubb, you look at those things and you're like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, that takes a lot of pressure off a young or a question mark secondary and inside linebackers from a coverage standpoint. So, like, those things are exciting, right? To get those guys back. And obviously Von Miller looks like a different guy.
Yeah. Gotcha. Is it just me or does Mike Evans get more vacation time than anybody we know? Four down territory coming up next.
Is four down territory.
Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said yes. Get your big butt out of here.
We're on to Cincinnati.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Do you want to lose? I throw, you catch. It's not that hard, okay? All right, get the out of here.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Block looking end zone for Sutton. And the diving attempt. Did he get it? Touchdown. What a catch. The first NFL touchdown for Drew Lock, and his parents love it in Denver.
It is upon us, folks. It is day one of training camp for the Broncos in the NFL. And in day one, as Stink said earlier, hey, you're just there to kind of see your friends and then think about this long journey, this marathon coming up, right?
Absolutely. It is a marathon. It's a journey. The Broncos have a long way to go and a short time to get there.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you think about it. What is today's the 14th of August. opening weekend is the 13th of September. Opening week or opening game will be the 10th of September on a Thursday night. So you've got less than a month to get yourself ready to play an NFL football game without preseason games. I mean, it's fairly daunting, you know, and I mean, it is a month is a lot of time, but it's not a lot of time, especially when you consider the new rules and how many days you can be in pads, only 14 padded practices and this, that, and the other. So they start the grind today to get themselves ready to play Sunday the 13th. Or no, they were playing Monday night, so they're playing exactly a month from now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. All right, well, I think coaches will say it's not enough time. Players say, yeah, a month is plenty. Next up on four down territory.
Second down.
Damian Williams, halfback left side. Kelce trots in motion across the face of Mahomes, who sprints out to the left side. He's holding it. He's going to try to hold it. Throws it late. And is it caught in the... It's caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! The Chiefs take the lead! And Kelce gargling in the sweet nectar of the end zone.
That's courtesy of Chiefs Radio Network. Chiefs and Travis Kelce, their great tight end, agree to a contract 4 years, $57 million.
Yeah.
They get it done again.
Again. You know, in a day and age where, you know, we've watched the Broncos even say, hey, with the uncertainty, the COVID uncertainty, the cap uncertainty, this uncertainty, like, I mean, that's equal. If you want to get guys signed, you can get guys signed. Yeah, using the cap as an excuse is garbage because you can manipulate the cap. It's the equivalent I heard, Andrew.
You know what? That's too bad.
Well, it is too bad, but it's the truth. I heard one of my guys, oh, gosh, what's his on Twitter the other day. But anyhow, I'll give it to you. He said,
Twitter.
Not getting a deal done because of cap restrictions is the equivalent of she's just not that into you. You know, that's what it comes down to. The Chiefs, you know, we were banking. Like, there are a lot of Bronco fans that were banking on, it's going to, you know, the Roosters are going to come to roost or whatever. Like, eventually you're going to have to pay the piper, whatever the cliche is, right? You're going to have to do it. Because once you get Patrick Mahomes signed, you know, you're not going to be able to sign anybody else. Well, guess what? Yeah. You know, so much for that nonsense because they're getting everybody signed.
You know what? He was Travis Kelce gargling in nectar.
Yes.
Now I get ready for a game, I gargle in Santa Flush.
Do you?
That's how I get ready for a broadcast.
That's probably good advice. I'll get some Santa Claus you.
Next up on four down territory.
Third down.
Well, he's not bringing Greg Williams with him, that's for sure.
That's right. We don't need that.
Come on, Greg, fire back. Let's have some fun with this. He is a very versatile football player, and there is a bunch of stuff he can do.
I like this. Pete Carroll coming back after Jets defensive coordinator Greg Williams said that his safety that is now with the Seahawks would be bored with their defense.
Yeah, Jamal Adams bored with their defense because, you know, Pete Carroll plays, it's pretty simplistic for the most part what they do.
The cover three.
They're just really good at it.
Yeah.
And, but still, I mean, there are a million different ways you can enter into that cover three where you can be out in the super buzz player out in the flat, where you can be down as a hook defender. There's, you know, where you can match up in a man situation. There's a lot of different things you can do. Plus, he's just one of those versatile players. I think Jamal Adams has 12 sacks in 3 years from a safety position.
Gee whiz.
Yeah,
no,
so
he can play.
Yeah, he can flat out play.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be fine Pete Carroll's system.
And I like it, too, because Pete Carroll's kind of, I don't want to say protecting his player, but he's like, you know what, I'm going to say something because we love this guy.
Yeah.
And we traded for him we gave up two first-rounders for a reason.
And a really good player, McDougal, for a reason.
Yeah.
Because he's that good. One thing I know about Pete, and he's told me this before, he goes, just trust me. When it comes to secondary play, I know what I'm looking at. Like, I know what I like, and I know what I'm looking at. Oh, yeah.
Did he say that to you?
He said that to me, so I'm like, okay, I'll trust you on that one.
All right, speaking of the Seahawks, next on four down territory.
Fourth down.
Shotgun snap. Russ takes it. Slides to his right side. Looking to the end zone. Looking. Now he fires a dart. Touchdown! Seahawks! Tyler Lockett slams that ball into the turf as Russ gets outside and waits for his receiver to uncover in the back of the end zone.
That's courtesy of the Seahawks radio network, but they're making news as well. They waive a rookie defensive back, undrafted Sivarind, for trying to sneak a female visitor into his hotel. So I think that's unfair, because when you did that, you didn't get caught, did you?
No.
I'm just joking.
Yes.
All right, here's my question.
Yeah.
If he had been a high draft pick, would the same thing happen? He's an undrafted free agent. Signed for $2,000.
Yeah, probably not. You would have probably been, reprimanded severely. Some public shame type of thing. But, that's just nonsense. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But, again, a kid like that probably legitimately knows he's not going to make the team. So maybe his NFL dream is already over. Right? Maybe his only dream was just to try to get into camp. He's in the camp and he got there. But come on, dude, like that, like you cut him not so much for trying to sneak a girl in, but just for being stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you're not smart enough to figure this out. So we're going to have to let you go.
Yeah.
Cause you're that dumb.
Yeah. I've done a lot of dumb, really, really dumb things, but I don't think I would try that one as much as I might have wanted to.
Right. Yeah. I've done some dumb things too.
I'm not sure.
That one takes the cake.
That one takes the cake. Yeah. All right. Hey,
they're young men, and they have urges.
Yes, Vic, they do.
I want to hit on something real quick. We got to go to break, but from our text line, is it just me Friday? And this one is interesting. Is it just me, or did the Avalanche get more national recognition than local? The best of Colorado's four teams, yet locally they get put behind the Broncos, Nuggets, and Rockies. That is true, by the way,
sure,
in terms of media coverage locally. They're number four,
sure,
and they're awesome. They get more coverage nationally than locally.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you just have to understand.
It's the nature of this town.
It's the nature of this town, but it's also the nature of the National Hockey League is that it's not, in its areas, in its pockets, it's wildly popular.
Yes.
But they're very small pockets.
Correct.
So.
Correct.
You got to understand the ratings game.
Yes, you do.
And I know fans get frustrated with that. And I understand why you get frustrated with that, but those things don't change. There's a reason the Dallas Cowboys can be absolute garbage, and they're going to get a bunch of nationally televised games.
Yeah.
Because they rate.
I think about it a lot in the shower.
They rate. I'm just telling you.
No, I hear where this guy's coming from, and I hear fans who say that. Doing the Nuggets for 18 years, I woke up every day during the season and looked at the newspaper and saw the Nuggets, even after a big win over somebody, on page 6. And I'm going, why are the Broncos the lead story on page 1?
Yeah.
They're not even playing. Anyway, I get that, but you're right. You got to accept the fact that this town is what it is in terms of media and in terms of fans and their teams. All right, we'll take a break. Next up, we got Troy Rink coming up. Jerry Symbol sitting this morning for Mike Evans along with Mark Schlereth, and we turn our attention now to T-Roy. It is Troy Rink in the morning, and he's presented by Trainee Law. And Troy, Broncos, first day of training camp. Let me ask you this question first. Going into this season, day one of training camp, when you look at this team and you say they have to do one thing to get it done to win some games this year, what would that be in your opinion? One item top of your list Broncos have to do to be successful?
Easy. Score 23 points a game.
There you go.
That makes you a contender. If you score 23 points a game in this league, you're right around anywhere between 8, 11 wins, and you're back in the playoff conversation. You're back in the playoffs. You can't win in this league scoring 17 points a game unless you have their 2015 defense or the 0-2 Ravens. That's just not realistic. That model doesn't exist anymore. So the one thing they need to be is better offensively. That will solve a lot of issues.
All right, be more specific than that. What has to be better offensively for them to get to 23 points a game?
Well, and I think that's an interesting question because their passing attack, they lack deep strikes. you were talking about, Mark, explosive plays earlier.
Mm-hmm.
They lacked explosive plays. And part of the reason they brought in Pat Shurmur was to get, you know, 20-yard-plus completions. And Drew Locke's capable of doing that. So that's one thing. They have to be more vertical offensively at times. The other thing is, it gets lost in it. They were 20th in rushing last year at 107 yards per game. That's not who they need to be. I mean, they need to be top 15, preferably top 12 in rushing. You know, you need to be around 120 yards rushing a game to open up all these other things, play action, screens, to diversify the offense. So the two things I would say were they need deep strikes, which with Judy and Sutton together, I don't know why that won't be possible. I just think that that's going, you're going to see that evolve, and that's going to be a true weapon. And they need to be able to run the ball better. That's why they brought Melvin Gordon in, is he's better in short yardage backs in the league. He's got a nose for the end zone. And you figure if you complement him with Phillip Lindsay, you should be a more dynamic rushing team. And that, those are the things they got to do. And now at least they have the talent that when you look at it and go, you know what, they could pull this off. Before, you're just like, if all 99 of these things go right, they might be okay. Now they have the talent to where you can have a little bit of margin for error because guys can win on their one-on-one matchups.
Troy, back to the offense in a second, but when you look at the defense as a whole, when you do, Troy Rank does, you see any weaknesses there? Are you thinking to yourself, well, they need to get better in this area on defense, or is that group in your mind in pretty good shape?
Well, I think they have a chance to be an elite defense. Mark touched on it earlier. That it's really going to come down to can they increase their sacks and increase their takeaways. Last year, the final 12 games of the season, they were a playoff defense for sure. And it's just having no sacks and no takeaways, which led to losses to the Jaguars and the Bears, that sabotaged their season. But for them to be elite, Jerry, they need to have an offense that leads once in a while so their pass rushers can be let loose. But questions on the defense, it starts at cornerback. Because while I believe Bryce Callahan will be healthy, he's a slot guy. That's what he does really well. So Michael Ojemudia is going to probably play a lot as a rookie, or somebody is, whether that's Devontae Bosby or Michael Ojemudia. One of those guys is going to have to step up because most of the time in the NFL, you have three corners on the field. So that's a question. Can they get better in pass coverage at the inside linebacker spot? I do believe in Vic Fangio's second season. Not only is Alexander Johnson, for me, going to be a Pro Bowler, but they're going to use more defensive backs more creatively. So they're not getting stuck linebacker on tight end. I think Vic's going to design that a little differently at times to help protect them in coverage. But the questions for me, for them to be an elite defense, it starts at corner. There's some questions at inside linebacker, but Darrell Casey, he just is an absolutely disruptive defender. And again, if they can lead or play even to force teams to try to push the ball downfield, it's going to allow Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, Darrell Casey to have a huge impact on games.
What is the role here in the next couple of days? What camp looks like? What are they trying to accomplish, Troy? I mean, obviously this takes on a whole different realm, what we've been going through right now, this kind of ramp up part into training camp. So what should we expect them to do, like, today and over the next couple of days as they get themselves prepared to put on the pads?
Yeah, I mean, today's their first team practice where they kind of bring them all together and go through, you know, what would look like a light practice in normal training camp with no pads, but you go through some plays, you just start putting it onto the field, what it looks like, instead of everything being theoretical or in Zoom. Now you're actually putting it on the field. And, you know, these practices in the past, you'd see it kind of jog through, laugh. And there has to be a sense of urgency to these, because when you do get to pads on Monday, those have to be really productive practices. And they at some point in there, of those 14 practices, I mean, you're probably thinking half of those are going to be the intensity ratcheted up so you can make roster decisions on some guys because you don't have preseason games. So what it's going to look like is kind of what would be a normal light practice where, oh, they're just no pads, but they're going through stuff. That would be one of those days, whether it's a Friday morning or whatever, watching it. And, you know, they're going through plays and going through stuff, but it doesn't look like much. Well, this year that is much for them. That does matter. And then Monday it ramps up to pads. And again, normally we don't overreact to some of this stuff, but with no preseason games, particularly with young players, this time in those padded practices is going to be a huge evaluation. for guys. And there's a few roster spots up for grabs, but I mean, for rookies that we think can make impacts, they need to get going. That's Jerry Jeudy. That's Ojemudia. Those kind of guys, Lloyd Cushenberry, those guys have to really, really be on point when they get into pads.
Talking to Troy Rankin, he's presented by Trainee Law. Troy, I'm just curious, with you personally, does your whole life kind of change now that training camp has started? I mean, we got a month until that first game, scheduled anyway. Are you out there every day and your lifestyle is now completely different than it has been?
Yeah, it's been such a weird last 5-6 months for all of us. But, yeah, I mean, I normally would have been out there. Last year, training camp started on July 17th, and we were out there every day, and then you're out at the Hall of Fame, and this would have been around the third preseason game.
Right.
I mean, so, yeah, I'm out there every day. I'm one of the fortunate ones. I'm blessed to be able to be out there and watch. And it's a different game because we're not going to be able to have access to the players walking out the practice field. Everything's done via Zoom. And that's just the nature of this season. I mean, I hope, obviously, you know, either later in the season or certainly next year, we get back to open locker room and being able to get guys coming off the field type, because that's what I love, being a reporter. This limits us, but this is better than the alternative of nothing. So, I'm pleased that I'm going to be out here and watching football. It's different. There's just no way around it. And the coverage is going to look and feel a little different because the access is different. But, again, the alternative is, and none of us want that.
Well, I'm pleased that I'm going to be hunkered down on the couch at 6:40 tonight watching first pitch of the Rockies versus the Rangers. 12-6, Rockies still in first place. Bullpen leaked a little oil over the last series. Cause for concern, but obviously not worry or panic. Where are you with the Rockies in general?
Yeah, I mean, their schedule's going to get tougher. So if you're going to have concern, there's two reasons. One, the bullpen is starting to become an issue late, and that's always something that concerns a coach or a manager. The second thing is they have to still play the Dodgers 10 times. So you want to be playing well, if not your best baseball, when you face off against the Dodgers, and you got, I think, what, 7 more against the Padres. That's going to ultimately decide if they're a playoff team, how they do in those 17 games. But if it were me, and no one cares what I think on this, but I would move Daniel Bard to closer. I've seen enough now. If this were a regular season, I wouldn't if it was 162 games, but it's not. And he has the most composure right now. He has the stuff with, 95 to 98 easy cheese, filthy slider, and he looks the part. Like, it doesn't look too big for him. He's in a wonderful spot mentally, and you can argue that's why you don't move him. I just think he can handle it. Based on what I've seen and talking to guys, then I'd move him to closer. I'd put Diaz to eighth and Estevez. Then you have Estevez, Kinley, and Almonte to deal with the seventh. But they need to, at some point, figure out that closer role. And I know they like Diaz, and I'm not down on Diaz. I just see Bard as a guy who can really classify roles, and you go to him and go, okay, back, he's the guy here. Let's figure out underneath him instead of, well, is it Diaz? Are we going to need Estevez? Because if you start trying to guess who your closer is, it just gets complicated for a winning team. So that would be my suggestion, is starting with tonight, I'd move Bard to closer.
And I think, in my opinion, Troy, I think that's what Bud Black is probably thinking pretty seriously about as well. And how about that Bard story? Is that just amazing? I mean, a guy hasn't pitched since 2013. He comes in, number one, he makes the team. Secondly, he gets a win, he gets a save, and he might be the closer going forward. Isn't that just one totally mind-boggling story in your mind?
Yeah, it's one of the best stories in all of baseball. Oh. I said it. Forget the seven-year itch. It's the seven-year pitch. Who goes 7 years between big league games? Like, it just doesn't happen, because typically within 7 years you lose your ability to compete at the big league level. He's gone for 7 years because of the yips. He literally a year ago from today couldn't play catch with his own kids because he just didn't trust where the ball was going to go. And now he's pitching in big league games, throwing 98, dotting I's and painting corners with a small brush. I mean, I'm watching his stuff, and I'm like, that's the guy I saw when I covered like the Red Sox in the playoffs. Was he was going to be the guy to replace Papelbon. That's him. That's the same. And I think his stuff might be a little better now than when he was, I think at that age, what would he have been, 28, 27 when I saw him? I mean, it's just unbelievable how good he is right now. And he is in such a good place mentally because of his own experience as a mental skills coach. The previous two seasons with the Diamondbacks, he just seems to have found the formula. I mean, yeah, there's always worry that, hey, you know, a bad inning, a bad this could, but he's had bad moments. He's had balls he's thrown the backstop. He threw a ball away going to first the other night. Next pitch, 98, dots and I's. So I just think he's crossed that threshold, and it's just a wonderful story of perseverance of a guy who just felt like I could get to this, and he had every reason just to not want to get back on a mound again. And he just figured it out by playing catch last year, Jerry, in the outfield with Arizona guys. And they're like, hey, are you trying to throw hard? And they're like, no. And like, man, this ball's coming out hot. Like, you probably should get back on a mound. And here we are. And he's, again, if they go to the playoffs, he, for me, is the comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
That just because of the nature of the story.
Yeah. Regardless if he goes to the playoffs or not, he's got to be right there. Hey, Troy, thanks, man. We really appreciate you, buddy.
All right, have a great show, guys. See you.
Okay, have a great weekend, Troy. Appreciate it. Troy Rank, presented by Trainee Law. What a story that is. Isn't that
incredible,
something?
Man.
Oh, my gosh.
It's absolutely incredible.
Ah.
Yeah, it was, my son Daniel is friends with Daniel Bard. They were in training camp somewhere together a couple of years ago. I think it was with the Cardinals. And he would tell me, he's like, dude has got, like, he's like, first off, he's 6'5" or whatever. Like,
pitcher's
just,
body.
Right, just total pitcher's body. And he goes, and just absolute whip arm. Like, he goes, like playing catch with him is unreal. Yeah. And at that time, he's like, now he can't throw a strike.
Right.
Like, cause he was trying to figure it out. But he's like, the guy's unbelievable. If he could just get that stuff, it's so cool to see him get it together, you know, and to watch Rockies, to sit down with, you know, my son who obviously knows baseball, still playing still trying to play, and is, you know, has pitched in the big leagues before, to listen to him explain kind of what's going on. It just is, it's fascinating stuff. And yep. Bard is such an unbelievable story.
Yeah. This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.